Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Network, celebrating our third year on Blog Talk Radio and iTunes. Thank you for helping us become a number one rated live show with over 1 million global listeners. Our team is on a mission to help you discover your authentic best self and bring it to the world. And now, here's our show.
Hi, everybody. I'm your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino. And I thank you for being with us today. We don't quite have Simon on the phone just yet. I sent him an email seeing if maybe we had a time zone goof or something like that. I'm not really sure. But, you know, it was interesting as I was just listening. I've got a computer in front of me, and it's got this studio for Blog Talk Radio in front of me, and in it are all these audio clips. And I was like, and I looked over to the right, and I'm like, wow, there's a lot of audio clips on here. And it's funny. I'm going to play this one for you while we're waiting for Simon. I think he's right here, so hang on just a minute. I'm going to get him first. Hey, Simon, is it you?
Hi.
Here we go.
Hi, Elizabeth.
How are you?
Here we go.
Good.
How are you?
Thank you. Great. Thanks for being here. So I promised people I was going to play this audio really fast while we were waiting for you. So this is really interesting. I forgot this was even in here, and we recorded this in late 2013 for the launch of my book Percolate, and it's just It's interesting to me here. I'm just going to play this for everybody. Hang on.
Do you have a voice inside you saying that you want something better, yet you don't know exactly what? Discover how to lead your life of purpose and inspiration with the new book, Percolate, Let Your Best Self Filter Through by Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino. Learn the 9-point process for lasting change based on Elizabeth's own method, developed after nearly losing her life to an allergic reaction in 1998. Taste the magic as you bring the authentic best you to the world. Percolate is available for pre-order on Amazon and will be released in April wherever books are sold.
And what caught me that was the end of it. what caught my attention was the end of that. Percolate's available in pre-order, and it's been, and it's coming up. And I forgot that was even in there, that we played that on our shows. And I guess the point I want to make is I just thank you for all your support over these past couple years with Percolate. I just did a presentation down in Kennebunk, Maine, for a bunch of people who sat with me for the hour and listened to my stories, and I heard their stories and really connected with people. And some of the people there were in the audience because they wanted to write their own book. And I just love all you guys, and I thank you so much because, whether it's Best Ever You, whether it's this radio show or whether it's Percolate or something else we've all got going on, this wouldn't exist without you. I am not funded by any big corporation or anything like that. You probably can tell. But it's all grassroots, and this radio show in particular is now going over 2 million downloads and listens, and it's all because you guys listen and share the show, and it's not about me, it's about our guests. When we have a guest on, I love how our community rallies behind them, and whether it's a known name or an unknown name or somebody who just wants to call in and say hi. Our community has got such a level of trust with it. I love it. You can come on the show and say just about anything as long as it's not too controversial or anything. But anyway, I just wanted to kind of chat about that. And that was my fill time, Simon, but you called in. How are you today, Simon Daniels?
I'm doing awesome. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, good to talk to you too. That was going to be my first question. Do you have an accent? And you do. Because you have this cool, I was reading your bio, you have this cool past. Do you want to just tell us, and so I don't have to, I don't like to read the read all about you. Can you tell us just a little bit about your background? It's so fascinating to me.
Oh, thank you. Sure. I was born in Brazil from an Israeli father and a Swiss mother, who migrated to South America because of the Holocaust. My father was a pianist, and he won a Rubinstein Prize, and my mother was a little crazy scientist. And then it was an interesting upbringing where I was, but I was always into music, and started playing very young in different instruments and singing and went to college. At that time, I had a band, and I was signed to Warner Brothers, and did my first record, and did some touring, and then a couple of years later, I did another record for Columbia, and a little more touring, a little more experience, and then I just felt that I was a little bit in a bubble, being where I was to who I wanted to project everything I was doing, and just had kind of a big vision of everything, and just a little bit obsessed with reaching as many people as I could with my music. And I was writing songs all the time, and I had an opportunity to come to Los Angeles. I mean, I've been to New York before, and I have family. I have family all over the Europe and here in the United States as well. So I moved to Los Angeles in 1985.
That's got to be. Is that scary to just pick up and move to a different country, or is it similar?
To me,
or?
To me, it would have been scary to stay where I was.
Very interesting. Why?
Not scary, but it's just, you know, I've done it, you know, and there's only so much you know I could have gone. Plus, I really like the American culture, and I had traveled all my life. I spent months in different places, and I felt that, you know, if you go to Los Angeles, you know, and you do something, especially in the 80s, you know, you reach the whole world in one shot.
Yeah, that's so great. That's brave. That's what I was going to say. Not great. Brave is what I meant to say. And I'm fumbling for words because one of the reasons is I absolutely adore this band and all that you guys do. Now I've done my homework on you guys. I had Steve Lynch on at first, and I had not done my homework, and I did that kind of intentionally to kind of just naively get to know you guys. You know, and you have done homework on a little bit more, and you guys have this. If you're listening, go to autographband.com, and still listen to the show. Don't hang up on us and go to autographband.com. Well, you can if you want to, but it helps everybody. But what I want to say is, you guys just have this passion about you, and it's really hard to put into words the level of passion.
There's a reason for that. First of all, to me, this is the best and most talented group of guys that I've played. I've been in many bands before. I have worked with producers and labels, you know, throughout the 80s and the 90s and so on. But there is something about getting with certain personalities where you really click as almost like as spirits, you know. And you have the same type of humor, and at a point in your life where it's just everything kind of comes together. You got to keep in mind they haven't played for 25 years, because when they disbanded in, I think it was 1988, they moved on to different businesses. You know, Steve started teaching, and Randy went to a leather business, and so on. And I always had my freshness about, you know, freshness or obsession, like I was saying, of doing what I'm doing. And it's like, you know, it's what I breathe. And the combination of their freshness from not playing for 25 years and coming back into this world with where I was at is what gives this feeling of euphoria and passion. And everything that we do from the moment that we get together is, there is an energy, whether you're backstage or you're in a restaurant or you're on stage, you bring that same energy with you. So the stage is not a different place at all from us than any other place. We do what we do, and we are what we are. And we just, when we go play, it's just a continuation of what we do, of course, with a lot more excitement.
Yeah, it's obvious to me. You can just feel the energy in the pictures and the music and the everything that you guys are doing. You guys just click, and it's so cool. And I think that's why I wanted you to be on the show so badly. I'm like, please come on the show because you know
well,
that's what Best Ever You is all about. You know, and everybody who knows me knows it's a pretty giant departure from a lot of the things I do. And I told you guys in email, I'm like, I'm so scared to have you on. I'm not well versed in guitar and singing and all this stuff.
But
I'm well versed.
Interestingly enough, may I just say this?
Yeah, please.
I am very, very connected to the your show. I had a spiritual awakening in the late 90s, where I questioned everything and I just sort of like reinvented myself and realized what I believed and realized how energies and frequencies work and environments. And started being able to choose better what I would let in my psychic. And so I just stay away. I learn how to stay away from things that are not positive. Just because, like we all know at this point in era, what we talk and think and do is basically going to prophesize what's going to happen next. And I have experienced that to the core. And when I was reading about the show, I saw that your books and everything, and I saw that there was, oh, this is just right my field, you know, because I have written songs and songs and songs about that. But right now, Autograph is the best place that I can be. The guys are great friends, and we all have the sense what's really important of how, you know, how you want to make the best of the moment and how precious everything, every moment is. And that comes with, I guess, a little bit of age.
You know, that's the thing because, you know, it was really funny. I was thinking about this and I don't know if I'm going to be able to put this delicately or not, but, you know, had I been like in my 20s, I think this would be a much different interview. It would be more like an oogly, googly, moogly all over, you know, kind of a like, oh, my God, oh, you know, that kind of thing. And it's so nice to have some age and some wisdom to it so that you can appreciate all of the life and the energy and the actual things that you put into being such a great musician and a band and all the things that you guys have to sacrifice and do. And I don't know that, you know, a 20-year-old is sitting there going, I wonder what they're going through right now. I wonder if they're okay. I wonder, you know, I don't think so. I think they go,
but,
yeah, Autograph, you know, kind of thing.
In their defense, I will say this, which sometimes I don't want to say this, but I will say just for justice. I don't know if I would have wanted to be my friend if I met me right now when I was 20.
Me either. I know. I hear you. I think
and
a lot of people feel that way.
Well, you know, actually, now that I'm saying that, that is natural because that would mean that you would, you know, because who the hell were you when you were 20? You don't even know, you know. It's like,
yeah.
So it's just the way it is. So I don't have a problem. I mean, I appreciate actually my experience and it just gives me more wisdom, which is different than knowledge, because knowledge is just knowing something. Wisdom is basically applying the knowledge and using it. And there's a big difference between these two things, and there's a big difference between having the knowledge for maybe a decade or two and not being able to apply it. And once you start applying it, it's a little foreign, but the results are incredible.
Yeah. Can I ask you what happened back then that made you, like, rethink everything, if I can? If you don't want to answer it, that's fine,
well,
too. Just
no,
ask.
No, I'm an open book. I have,
yeah,
you know,
I am too.
I can't tell you what underwear I'm wearing right now. I'm just
You can if you want.
I'm not wearing any. I'm just kidding.
That's hilarious.
No. Sorry. We're taking the show now.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we're taking the show from the spiritual level now, too.
Exactly.
To Jerry Springer or something. But anyway, yeah.
No, though. The show goes anywhere.
Well, a lot of it had to do with the fact that I was signed to Interscope Records with a band called Flood for 5 years.
Okay.
And We made a record produced by Terry Date that did all the biggest bands, and we were top notch on the label, and it was right when the label was starting, and all kinds of things were promised and all of that. And after 5 years, out of nowhere, 2 weeks before we were ready to go out on tour with a band called White Zombie, we received a phone call and they just dropped us. So it was 5 years of my life that I put
really?
Into that. And that was not the first time, because I had that experience before with labels in the past. But it was the fourth time that happened. And it's a very difficult when that happens, because, you put all that effort, all that passion, all that work, years, and the label keeps postponing the release, and you go through this, and this is nothing new what I'm saying. I mean, every recording artist, most of them have been through this, but it was absurd, the way it happened to us, because the reason why we were let go is because one of the executives went to another label, and it's just like when you have a company and somebody leaves a company, and then a new guy comes, brings his personnel, and just gets rid of everybody that was there before. So that had nothing to do with what we did and how the record was and all this. And at that point, I kind of had a breakdown, because I said, well, if I did all this and I came this far, how else can I ever do anything? Because this is as closer as anything that I wanted to, that I was able to get to, and then you have to you have financial problems, and then you have to explain to your family, and then you have to. It's just Yeah, it was really hurtful, and that made me question everything, that plus the combination of a couple of friends that I died, that I was in a band with my partner here in L.A., he used to fly planes, teach in the Santa Monica airport, and he was in a plane crash and died, so you start seeing... At a relatively young age, you start encountering your notion of mortality, and everything just got really dark around me. And I decided to go straight to the dark side and experience that, just so I can find myself, because you don't know what you are if there isn't the extreme opposite of what you want to be. That's the explanation that's the explanation. When somebody asks me, why is it that they don't ask me, but I have asked that question, why do good, bad things happen to good people? It's not that. This is part of the game of life, because falling from grace was actually a choice, I believe, and I'm not talking religiously at all. I'm talking about the concept of not having everything perfect. You can't have light if you don't have darkness. You can't have hot if you don't have cold, and all that, the extremes, And I started understanding how this was designed, not understanding, I'm far away from understanding, but I'm saying I started making some sense that, okay, I can't be good if there isn't bad, because I'm not going to have anything to work on or to do. And at that point, with my frustration, I decided to experiment the dark side, and not that I've done anything bad, but I basically started reading and getting involved in mysticism, I surrounded myself, I dressed myself, my whole life changed, I became quiet, I was, and all this triggered me to not like that, the result of that happened naturally, was I made a solo record of 12 songs that I played and all the instruments and produced in 98, and all this comes out in the lyrics of this That's when I really grasped into songwriting because of the way I was feeling. And then I started despising being around negativity. And it's exactly because I know it so well that I don't want to be around it, you know. And there are people that are sometimes annoyed with that, but my type of rock and roll, an autograph,
that's the first time I've ever heard anybody say that. Sometimes people are not. That's exactly the way I feel. Like, I'm always super positive and I annoy the crap out of people. That's funny.
Well, because I'm in an environment of tremendous amount of negativity that
yeah.
You know, musicians and you know, art and business go head to head. They
yeah.
just don't go together. You know, so if you want to be a successful artist, you will have to compromise a pretty good part of your intestines, you know, to make a living and to do your art. What I like about Autograph, unlike all my other bands that I had before, is exactly the positivity that these guys have. It's exactly, it's a party band. Rock and roll to me is about happiness, euphoria, energy, Friday night, let's party, let's kiss everybody, let's love everybody, let's have a great time, and let's disperse this enormous amount of positive energy that we have. It's not what it became in the 90s, you know. And the band that I was mentioning before that was in the 90s was a very dark band, you know. So I experienced... I'm just going to give you a quick example just so you have a visual of this. When I went to record vocals in that record, they wanted me to watch a movie, a video called Faces of Death.
Oh, gross. Really?
To inspire me to be angry on my singing. And it was the stupidest, most disgusting thing that, you know, and not only did they put me through this, but I had to do this. In the name of what the band stood for, whatever, which has nothing to do with me. So anyway,
right.
That's the previous quick summary of why. Now, the way...
I've never seen that movie. One movie I refuse to watch. Do you know that? I absolutely refuse
Pardon?
To watch it. I will not go there. That Faces of
I'm
Death
sorry.
Movie, I refuse to watch it.
Yeah, you know, that it's a video that they used to have with the real scenes of tragedies, you know.
Yeah.
And I coming from Brazil, I have seen these things in my childhood for real. And I don't think the people in America realized that that was all real before 9/11. You know, everything was fun to go to a Rambo movie and see people, you know, it was so much fun to shoot everybody, you know. And it's... In the reality of it, you know, it's, I already knew that reality, but everything, people thought there was this was a movie here, and it's not, you know. So I always try to stay away, and I was always called, are you a rocker? Why are you so sensitive? Why, you know, and that kind of stuff, and that's the kind of stuff of the circle. I don't like to be around musicians because of that reason.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess, and I think that was probably one of the reasons why I was kind of afraid to interview you guys, because you don't know, like, I'm not sitting with you every day. I don't know really, like, who you are, and I'm like, oh, boy, I don't know them quite well enough. And then I'm like, you know, I can kind of tell just in talking with them, they are super positive. They are not exactly the opposite of dark. And I can tell in some of the, you know, a lot of your pictures are with kids and with family, and the values are in the right spot for me. And it doesn't have to be like over, you know, like overboard, super, you know, cheesy perfection or anything like that. But, you know, just, I can tell Autograph has its values, its integrity, its character, its everything in the right spot. And you can only do awesome things with that. And you live with yourself.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'll tell you this, that doesn't mean we're going to kick your butt. on stage. I mean, believe me, it's yeah. loud. It's, you know, it's energetic, and but you know, turn up the radio. That's the essence, you know. And we have new songs with a new lineup and with a new CD and all that, and then they all sort of follow, you know, the same, a lot of harmonies, melodies, upbeat grooves and all that stuff. But the difference is that the lyrics are not from 1983, you know, and they're just a little more, you know, they just speak more the language that is now, you know, and we couldn't really do it any other way because that's what we are right now.
What's that like to step into a band that's got a song like Turn Up the Radio? That must be so much fun to be able, like, did you know that song before? Like, and is that just a blast to play that?
I was a fan of the band.
Yeah.
I was a fan of the band.
We all are.
When I moved here, by the way, 1985, that's when they were, you know, sort of like, you know, in their, like I would say in the middle of their run or something. It didn't last that much longer because of, once again, because of the RCA Records, you know, another story, you know.
You want to know something? Like, hang on one second. When I was a kid in like high school and college, I used to try and get interviews because I've done this my whole life in one form or another, you know, for school. And it's so bizarre to be interviewing autographed because I remember back being in a teenager, I was like, I wonder how I could interview them for the school newspaper.
Oh, well, that's cool.
It actually was a thought that went through my mind. So it's so bizarre to be 46 and sitting here interviewing you guys. It's just the coolest thing. And I think what I'm going to do is connect the dots and put something back in Iowa where I'm from, back in the high school and college papers.
Uh-huh.
About, you know, I'll tie it all together and make it work. But do you have that feeling? I'm sure you did too. Like you're a fan, you know, you were a fan of the band and now you're with the band. So cool.
Yeah, I mean, but the way it happened, it's like effortless, you know. I was seen doing a reunion show at a Monsters of Rock cruise, which goes once a year to the Bahamas or whatever, and they were thinking about playing again, and the original singer didn't want to do it. He's very well established, and I'm quite a little bit older, and I just didn't want to do it. But he gave them his blessing for us to, you know, take the name and do it. And so there was two choices: either I was going to join in and we were going to do it, or nothing was going to happen. And when I met Steve and Randy and we played together, there was no question about it. That's just basically, unfortunately, the keyboard player died 5 or 6 years ago. And we decided not to put the keyboards and make a little more modern and heavier sound, which you know, can't really tell. I mean, you can't tell the difference, but it's just a little deeper and a little harder. The keyboards, they have the tendency to smoothen rock and roll quite a bit and becomes a little very progressive. We wanted to go more in a direction like, let's take Turn Up the Radio and use that as a blueprint, you know, and the next song, because the first song we wrote together is called You Are Us, We Are You, which is an anthem as well, which has the big chorus. It has the same energy of Turn Up the Radio, and that just made it easier because, like I said, effortlessly, there was a time in our lives that this all happened and we got connected. We don't even live in the same state.
That's what surprised me the most. I couldn't believe that. I thought you guys would all just be right near each other and hanging out and all that stuff, and you guys don't live near each other at all, do you?
Well, we don't need to because we tour so much and we work so much that we're constantly together. So when we're not together, we try to give each other a break. You know, it's just to keep it fresh. You know, but two guys right now living in Seattle, and Steve and Randy, and I'm Mark and I are, we live here in L.A., but we're basically going out all the time, and we don't have to rehearse.
I've got your CD right here, you guys. That was so nice of you guys to all sign it and write To Elizabeth on it. It's cool. It's called Louder, and how's that going? Where are you guys going to be in the next year? What's going on tour-wise, and where can people get your CD?
Right. Well, the CD was just released, and it can be you can get it at autographband.com. Immediately on the first page, there is, you know, a banner about, you know, the CD, and it released last year. We released three singles, which are on the CD, and then there's another track, and then there's a version of Turn Up the Radio Live with the audience singing, you know, their heads off with us, and it's really, really exciting. So this just came out January 7th. We have a release, a show at the Whiskey A Go-Go in Hollywood to release the CD. It was really cool. A lot of people came. A lot of known people came and press and stuff. And we have a lot of support from the music scene. Everybody's in the music scene is so excited that Randy and Steve are back playing, you know, because they didn't play for so many. And anyway, so tours are being booked and stuff, you know, so we have shows which we're going to be promoting the CD and promoting the band. This is the beginning of the third year of this reunion, so it's fairly new. We have toured the first 2 years a lot, and I think we covered the four corners of the United States. We also went to the UK and Canada, and back then they never went out of the country. This is the first time that this band is going out of the country to play. You know, and Steve has a lot of fans in Australia, and I have, you know, people in Europe and South America and so on. So there's a lot of ground cover that was never, ever visited. And so that's what we're going to do. We have shows being booked. We're going to play also at the 44th anniversary of the Rainbow, which is a legendary place on the Sunset Strip. And other events that are, you know, particularly special besides normal gigs and other shows. But the idea is to reach as many people as possible, make as many friends as possible, and leave a trail of friends and fans, including crews and all the people that work in production, everywhere we go.
Yeah, it seems like you guys have the motto, be nice to everybody that you're meeting and so forth. Did you this is probably a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Can anybody review a CD? Is it like a book where, like on Amazon, where you buy the book and any person can leave a review? Or does a band just care about like reviews from like Rolling Stone or something like that? What does a band care about in that regard?
The most reviews, the better it is. I don't care we don't care because we believe that we want to reach people, and it's a numbers game. And there is no good people or bad people. There's no good audience or bad audience. That's not up to us to judge or decide. You know, we just want to throw all the seeds in the air and just, you know, and see where see what happens. And so far, we have every show we have played. I got to tell you that we have played probably more than 100 or 200, 150 shows, and every single time we conquer it. We win the audience. They're part of the show. The show is really exciting. And after every show, we take the time to go down, after we go backstage, we just dry a little bit. We go down and we talk to everyone. And we shake everyone's hands.
Pictures.
Yeah. Everyone. We're talking. So
cool.
That is what we do. We want to we want to bring positivity and our energy, and that can be done through the playing and singing, writing, and also through the meet and greeting.
I really love the fact that if you guys, you know, if you have some air about you or ego about you, boy, you sure can't tell. And that's so refreshing because, you know, that's the whole thing that people want. And I think that's like one of the most misunderstood things about being like famous or being out there is that all people want to do is meet you, say hello, and it totally brightens their world. That's the, I think the, that might be the whole goal. It's like, I just want to meet them once or say hi or tell them that I love their music or, there's a reason people line up for miles to meet you. And if you can sit there and go through that whole line of people, it's so powerful. Because I got to tell you, there I was at a, this is different, I was at a conference for my book, and there was this mm-hmm. author that I mean, I was dying to meet this author. Sorry, I know it's nerdy, but that's just me. I was dying to meet this author. And I swear I stood in line forever. You got up there, and the person didn't even look up. They just put the book in front of them, signed it, and moved me through. Didn't even say hi, didn't even, just did not, was not warm, nothing that I even remotely dreamed of or expected or anything. It was so disappointing.
Well, let me try to understand.
Talking about it 2 years later, it was so disappointing.
You were signing the book, or were you going to assign
it? No, I was trying to get somebody, you know, there's an author there that I wanted to meet, and I was trying to get them to sign their book for
me. Uh-huh.
You know,
oh, and
like
they were very impersonal.
Yeah, it was wild. I'm like, wow, I'm a fellow author even. I didn't say anything.
Impersonal
wasn't the word for it. Incredibly awful, rude was the word for it. But I watched this person, and I'm a study of branding and marketing and how to, you know, meet people, you know, just that's my thing I do. I'm really in tune with people. And I watched this person process through this line of probably 500 people, and I was watching it also to learn how to do things right or clearly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a line of such disappointment. This author wouldn't stand and take a picture. She just signed the same thing over and over and over again in the book and didn't even look up. And at the end of it, I heard her walk away and go, oh, I'm so glad that's over.
Well, you know what?
Ouch, huh?
There's a lot of construction jobs available.
Exactly.
You know?
But that's so cool
we don't even really understand that kind of stuff because what can be better in life than make a living with what you love?
Exactly. I would have killed for that line of people. I was just like, let me sit down with my book. You know what I mean? I would have killed for that many people in line for Percolate. I mean, and the lady did not appreciate one of us.
Well, you know, that doesn't speak for autographs at all.
No, it doesn't, does it? It's the coolest thing.
That doesn't speak for a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the epitome. Of what we're not, and we don't want to. I mean, there are circumstances, okay, where if you're on a plane or if you're tired and hungry, and sometimes there are very strange things that happen, and not everybody's right. So well behaved like you, you know. So if you're jet lagged or hungover or whatever what it is, you can be in a tricky mood. Where you might, but to go
right.
have a line of people to sign something.
You're
that
there
you just,
for a reason.
That,
yeah, exactly.
You know, there is zero excuse for that.
I just noticed that that level of just such positive, wonderful energy in all you're doing. You're taking pictures with your fans and their kids, or if the kids came out to see you by themselves or whatever. It's just so cool that you're really, truly interacting and caring with people. And I just think
we're creating monsters.
Oh, it's so awesome.
we're making nice kids that we're going to be doctors and lawyers, start liking this kind of stuff.
Exactly.
You know, and then they're going to end up like us.
Perfect. Yeah, exactly. You know, there are so many people. Well, who wouldn't want to end up like you guys? That'd be so cool. It's interesting. I was going to ask you about that. I have a couple questions that kind of go back to who you were as a kid, and I kind of ask this of my guests sometimes. Did you always know, were you that little kid singing and drumming on everything and playing the guitar on everything, or was this something you picked up later, or were you that little, you know, 4 and 5 year old singing?
I basically saw the Beatles. And that's basically a very common story for yeah. you know, musicians of that era. And for a pretty long time, I thought that the only band that existed was the Beatles. And when I found out the Rolling Stones existed, I was like, well, wait a second. How dare them try to do the same thing that the Beatles, or try to play a guitar. And, but then I understood, wait a second, if they can do it, there's a lot more others. And then I, you know, just picked up a guitar and then went to the piano and started like just playing around, and noticed that everything came so easy to me, and I could hear everything. I could hear harmonies in my head. I could hear melodies. I could. The only difference between an instrument and another is really what you press on it, and you know, whether you press a key or you play a string or a horn or whatever it is, it's the same thing. It's just a different place. Singing is a little bit different because it's very human, and everything you do as a singer kind of reflects your state that you are, and so I found out without running away from your first question that singers have to take a lot of good care of themselves, because you can't be tired, you can't be hungry, you can't be in a bad mood, because all this is going to come across. So it's your responsibility to create an atmosphere where you are in the state that the fans deserve to see you. You know, that's why that story you just told me is so outrageous, but it happens all the time. But to me, 9 years old, I started taking guitar lessons, and then I was kicked out of the class because I was telling the teacher what to play, you know. And she didn't like
piano
the fact.
Lessons myself.
She didn't like the fact.
Do that clicker thing. What does that call it? The thing that ticks back and forth. What the heck is that
metronome?
Called?
Metronome.
I wouldn't do it. I'm like, oh no. I can just play this. I can play the piano really well, but I hate that thing.
About that, you know, you don't see anybody playing a concert with that thing on.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, sometimes we don't know, but there are drummers that have that thing running in their headphones, you know, for the tempos to you know. But the whole theory of it, you know, and my father being a pianist is very, very conservative and very, professionally taught, was obviously, why the hell didn't you pursue classical music? Because if you think about it, you know, I was told that that's the only music that is good, that everything else is stupid, that the people are, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, mm-hmm. Your parents come from a different generation. That is when the rock bug comes and bites you. Like, oh, really? Really? Well, I'm going to make a lot of noise here, and I'm not going to be shy and none of that stuff, you know. So that combination of, to a certain degree, being put down with whatever music I like, just fueled me to do more and more and more. And then that's very interesting for me, what I see these days, because I see parents, they're trying to force their kids to play rock music. And that's the exact opposite of what music is supposed to do. Rock music is supposed to be an answer against rules. And, of course, these people I'm talking about, they're my age. And I don't have kids. But the kids, they don't have a rebellion in you if your parents are telling, go buy I bought you an electric guitar, plug that thing in, put the distortion. You have to have a father saying, this instrument is horrible, sounds horrible. The piano is the only thing that matters. You don't know anything. You're stupid. You know? That is what's
and then they do
make
the opposite.
You that's what's going to make you become a rocker. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Actually, even after listening to Steve, too, and his whole tent story and everything he went through to become the musician he is. Yeah, I get it. And
the cool thing about Steve and I, and we feed off each other, is that he's studied at MIT, and he's technically a genius. And he's got a feel also. It's not just the technique, the way he bends the strings and the way his timing and everything. And I have that notion in me because of my father, which I respect very much because he had his reasons why he did what he did. I'm never judging anybody at any time. But Steve and I, we have something in common because I have that kind of background, but I'm a push for more freedom, for more freedom of expression, you know. And Steve is now, in my opinion, he's playing right now like, I mean, he is a
he's brilliant.
Human. He really, really is playing, going to places that he was not before. And he had the capacity to do it, but I think that back at their time, they were sort of like in a mold of that era, and then you have to do certain things. Right now, there is no mold.
Yeah, age again, huh? Age and wisdom and doing your own thing and all that good stuff. It's cool, isn't it?
Yeah,
he is so brilliant, though. I couldn't agree with you more. You can just tell.
Absolutely. And at the same time, we're a bunch of idiots. You know, because
I don't think so. But I think you guys are funny. No, you're not. But you're brilliant,
no,
too.
Seriously.
And that's the goof everybody is. I mean, you should see, I'm the biggest. I'm constantly a goober. I'm happy to be.
Exactly. But that's, you know,
I'm
when
a goober.
I don't mean that. We don't mean that in a negative
no.
way, but
Good
but
way.
We are many things, right? We all are many things. We wear many hats, and you would expect somebody like Steve Lynch that's so technical, so trained, so you know.
Not be funny or anything.
You have no idea what happened when we're on an airplane together, and it's horrifying.
Do I want to know?
we're sent back for bad behavior, all kinds of things, you know. We're so go to the back. We're jokers. We're just everything is a joke. You take your music seriously, but you can't take yourself so seriously.
Yep, I have a saying: Have you laughed at yourself today? That's what I mean by the kind of the goober. Just I always say that every day. Have I? At some point in the day, I asked myself if I completely cracked myself up today in some way and laughed at myself. Not laughing at other people, laughing at me, because there's something silly I do every day in one way or another, because I'm funny like that, too. I've got a funny sense of humor, and it's all serious. Sometimes
good.
It's hard
I
to interview.
I can tell. You have a beautiful smile, and I can see through it.
Thank you. And so do you too. I
can see your angelical influences through your smile.
Yeah,
but that also a little bit of hell in me too.
But I'm all good. Not in a mean way though. Just a hellraiser.
But that doesn't.
20-year-old person.
That doesn't mean that the ghost isn't there either. You know.
Exactly. What was I going to ask you? I was going to ask you. Oh, it was something about you guys. Oh, I know what it was. When you were saying with Steve and MIT, and do you guys all, again, this might be a silly question, do you guys all learn from each other constantly?
Yes, because we each have something then more developed due to whatever the lives that we had that the other doesn't have. And because we collaborate, and when we go out and play, like I was telling you in the beginning, we just basically have a certain energy, and that energy just goes everywhere we go. So, we all learn musically and also in terms of being a human being. We learn a lot from each other. And I like actually playing with guys that are older than me for once in my life.
Yeah, yeah. True.
Because I was always the oldest.
From a girl's standpoint, it's like, oh my god, you know. Yeah, that's got to be a little bit more calm.
It's not what the industry... I'm sorry?
Yeah. It's just got to be a little bit more... almost like there's nothing to prove. I don't know if that's the right word for it. Like, you guys are all pretty great already, so it's not so, like, constantly chaotic.
Oh, no,
I don't know. That's my vision of it.
No, musically, really, there's not much talking. I mean, we read each other quite well, you know, and... we read each other so well that this chemistry was created out of nothing. I mean, sometimes we're playing live. People say, "Well, how did you guys just do that?" And or that part of that song is just, what was that plan? I said, "No, nothing is. It's just but there is something about the group and the vibe of it that just from the very beginning is very effortless and." I read about this in many books, that when something good is there, it's effortless. And when you try too hard to do something and it's just not happening and you don't want to accept this, you got to really reevaluate. And that's what I had happened before in my life, not in my solo career that I have, but when I worked with other people. With this, with Autograph, the last 2 years and a half have been really blessed in the sense that, we gel. And, I know a lot about singing, harmonies. The other guys know a lot about playing live. Our drummer is a recording engineer. We have all the angles, you know, where we are self-contained to do everything we need to do. We produced it, we recorded it, we wrote it, we did everything. There was no other person involved in this. Not because we made it this way purposely, but just because there was no need for it.
Yeah. Do you think you'll go? I think the wording you said was like with a label or something like that. Would you ever want to be as a group like? Signed again by some major. It sounds like you guys all are. I don't know how that all works.
I know what you mean. Let me just explain. For you to sign with a label, they have to give you something. You can't just go give royalties to a company, and they don't do anything anymore for you. At the time that Autograph had turned up the radio, and it came out, that those labels were like machines, like marketing machines.
Right.
So you would give them 13% of royalties, which is, if you think about it, you wrote the song,
wow.
You recorded the song, you were the artist, and they're taking 87%. And the reason why you do that, and then you have to split, and then you have to give 2% of your 13%, you have to give 2% to a producer, and then you have to split the other 11% by 4 or 5. It's so, no wonder no bands ever make any money in their first, second, right? You have to have 3-4 records that went platinum to start making money, you know, because you owe money. But fine, but they gave you the fame. They put you on MTV. They turned up the radio, you know, they promoted it, whatever they did, it put Autograph on the map. And, but now they don't want to do any of it. They just want to, but basically that they don't even really barely exist because of this. They work with old catalogs, but it's because why would I give any percentage of anything to a label that's not going to give me tour support, that's not going to promote me? So what the hell are you going to do for me? You know, that's bad business, you know? So let me just say that even though we have all this positive energy, we're not, when I said we were a bunch of idiots, not in that sense.
Exactly, the business. That's why I kind of said, no, you're not.
No.
Yeah. So
with the business, this is a business, and we're pretty frugal with this. With the people that want to make money on us, not the fans, but you have to be, you know. And so if a label comes right now and says, we're going to put you on tour with Lady Gaga or where something humongous or we're going to give you this $2 million advance, or we're going to we're going to, you know, replicate and duplicate CDs to every single city in every country in the world. Give you anything. They just say,
yeah,
we'll just pay for the recording costs. And guess what? We have our own studio. So
right,
we don't need them to play our recording costs for them to take at least 50% of our royalties. So,
well, it's so similar to the book industry, to kind of some of the things I've been going through with my book. That's interesting.
Yeah, with the editors and publishers.
Uh-huh. And royalties and publishers and tours and, yeah, interesting. So the same.
It's very similar, by the way. The only difference is that you don't promote a book as a song on the radio, or a book doesn't play on TV. So the in music they have outlets that with books you can advertise, and you know that obviously better than me, you know.
They're standing in line for it. No, that's funny.
there are limited, you know, and
yeah.
So I don't know. It is what it is. We just gotta, you know, we can't.
Yeah.
We have to go with it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, can you go into? I'm getting questions on Twitter here as we're talking. Do you have a little bit more time to spend with me? A couple
sure.
more minutes. I don't
sure.
want to run over and not be respectful of your time and stuff.
Sure.
We have a question on Twitter, and they'd like you to go into a little bit more detail about what you did before Autograph. And then we have a second question of, do you also teach? I don't know how you want to cover that, but those are.
Oh, what was the first one?
They want you to go into a little bit more detail of what you did before Autograph.
Sure. Well, like I said, number one question. Okay, so like I said, I got a degree when I was living in Brazil when I was 22 in economy, business administration or whatever they call it there, and then I was already signed and playing there. At 23, I had the opportunity to come to Los Angeles. When I got here, in 6 months I was in a band. And I met this producer, Kim Folley, which she did the Runaways, which is a band that Lita Ford, Joan Jett was, they were in the beginning. And he wrote some songs for Kiss and some other things. That was my first experience with a, you know, person, but he was, you know, very crazy, creative person who died actually 2 years ago. But, there was a music scene happening in the mid '80s, and I was able to infiltrate quite well. And at that point, writing songs, and this band, the first band was called Agent X, and it just morphed into a band called Jailhouse, and basically. We became a headlining act in L.A. We were playing at the country club, and we started out opening for the band Warrant when they were just starting to. It was around that era. And there was a band called Rough Cut that did a couple of records, and then they wanted me to join their band as a singer, and I proposed that me and the guitar player from Jailhouse merged with them and called it Jailhouse, and interestingly enough, they agreed, you know, and because that was really pushing the envelope. But we had a pretty good run. We had three videos on MTV that were on that show, Headbangers Ball. And we did some touring, and then we got we put out a record through Restless Records, and you know, we did a good run. After that, we were signed to Enigma Records, which was part of Capitol, and we went through the whole pre-production. We were ready to go in the studio, and this is another one of those stories where all of a sudden I find myself at the Palladium in Hollywood, and the singer from the band. The singer from the band Striper comes up to me and says, "Hey, man, did you hear what happened?" I said, "What?" And Edmund was just bankrupt. It's bankrupt, you know. So that was, you know, another darkness moment, you know, where everything that, you know, because we were ready to go with producer with everything. So that the label just was, Capitol let go of the label. So after that, I created a band called Grind with this partner. And that was like a band that sounded sort of like King's X, really, really musical, a lot of instrumentation stuff. Then I had my friend, my partner, that, you know, had the thing that I told you that occurred, where it wasn't a plane crash. And so that was, you know, the beginning of it. Throughout then, I got involved with another guy, and we started the band Flood, which
What's
is the
called?
Band I was saying. And Flood.
Flood. That's awesome.
Flood, yeah.
Flood, yeah.
Yeah, so in 6 months, we got signed to Interscope, and that was 94, 93 or something. And then, you know, they kept feeding us like chickens at Interscope, like for about 4 or 5 years, you know, and we made a hell of a record. And then when the record was, after being postponed 3 or 4 times, you know, there was that story that I said that, you know, they, you know, all of a sudden everything was dropped.
Right.
So that was for that. And then I said, you know what, you know, I'm just going to go inwards right now. So I bought a bunch of instruments and locked myself in my room for probably about 6 months, and just kept writing and going from instrument to instrument, like every day I would spend a certain amount of time on one instrument. And then I started recording everything, and just sort of like wanted to not have to depend on bands or anything. And then just
can I ask you something? When you do something like that, do you have enough money to sustain yourself? Are you okay in that period of time, or is there struggle going on like that too? Because
no,
being creative,
I have other businesses on the side.
Oh,
which,
okay.
Yeah, which you know, I'm involved also with adoption fairs for dogs and animals. I always work with animals and
other
things. But,
oh, you got to hear about that before we go. Oh my God, I'm the biggest dog and cat fan ever. I do too.
I am a dog whisperer, I tell you.
Yeah,
I can,
and I think I was a cat in a former life. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I
communicate with plants if they let
cool.
if they let
they
me
like
in.
Yeah, I hear you.
That's
funny.
So if they let me in their secrets, but
yeah.
that's basically what it was with that. You know, so throughout to answer your question, throughout that time, just the cost of living was not, to me, with the circumstances where I was living, they were not expensive, and I just didn't go anywhere. I just pretty much did some work and translation and other, you know, just try to find some other skills that I had to maintain myself, songwriting, studio work, voiceovers, et cetera, you know. And after the solo record.
Going. That's okay.
No, go ahead.
Okay, here's what I was going to ask you. Have you ever had a moment where anybody, like I've had this said to me, go get a quote, real job or something like that. Has anybody ever said anything like that to you with respect
maybe the question should be, have you ever had a moment where people said, go try to do something that you really love? Because
I like that better.
The reason why that would be the question
like that, though.
is because I didn't hear that. That's all I heard is conform, conform, conform.
Exactly.
People that liked me and were my friends, they could see through a passion, you know, including family and all. They said, look, you know, this is a game, you know, and there is great rewards, but there is incredible potential for suffering in this. And you know, I'm not the kind of person that I want to try things, you know, I want to I want to live life fully, and I don't want to become old and regret that I didn't do things. And that was always my mentality. And
I have a whole thing about it. Since I was a little kid, my dad would always say to me, "Why are you in such a rush?" I'm like, "Because I can't miss anything. I've got it like, and I'm not ever in a rush that's not methodical and understood and at my own actual pace. So I'm not like harried or anything." But he would always say, "Why are you trying to do so many different things?" I'm like, "Because I never want to have a regret ever, ever."
Well, then how did he respond to this answer? Well, and all his thinking from his perspective, but she's my daughter. I don't want her to do that. I don't want her to. I don't want her to suffer. I don't want her to be hurt.
Exactly.
I don't want her, even subliminally, subconsciously, you know. When, it all depends on what position you are. I don't know if I had a kid right now, if I would suggest for him to do what I'm doing either. I mean, you know, it's a very, very tricky situation. Well, there's two sides to it, but I know what you mean in the sense that if you have friends, okay, that know that you have a passion and they don't encourage you with your passion, I don't think that they're really that good for you. Because parents, I can understand the fear of a parent and the roles that they're playing. But somebody that sees, Elizabeth is a great writer, and she has so much to say, and she, you know, she's really doing something that it comes across in your smile when I see your picture. And for somebody to disencourage you, or let's say not encourage you to do that, because there is, especially in the world today, there is no, everything is unpredictable. It's just, then you have to see that person is saying that because there's a little bit of jealousy in it, or because,
they didn't do it. They wanted
there are many
to do
reasons.
Real, or there's a whole dark thing.
Yeah, you can't think about these things. You just gotta go with what you think of it, you know.
Yeah, I have the coolest parents in the world, by the way. My mom and dad are listening. Hi, mom, dad. I have the best parents in the world. They've always encouraged me to do like anything I ever wanted to do. But my dad would have that question for me just so he understood.
I don't blame
him.
I mean, he's your dad.
I'm in the middle of 11 kids. I'm smack in the middle of 11.
He's your dad. He doesn't want to see. He doesn't want to see if I had a daughter, maybe that's one of the reasons why I haven't even had kids. I never really tried or wanted, but that's one thing that I'd probably be horrified of, because I'm still learning how to take care of myself.
Yeah, it's hard, definitely. Kids are cool.
You have four, right?
I have four boys, and they're all so different. And, the one of them just does not want to go to college. He wants to be a bodybuilder. And I'm like, okay, go for it. And I got that whole parent thing going on right now with him where it's like, oh, this is such a tougher road. But it's your life and what you're passionate about and all those things. So we're, 100% go for it. And just all, they're all very different. But I completely get what you're saying. That was such a, that was so articulate with the explanation of the difference between like a parent and a friend for sure. And like, yeah, I can't hang around people that don't, anybody who, like I've
not
had
only a friend
before.
I mean, it's not just a friend, it's actually the whole
not even
world,
a friend.
the friend too, but I'm saying it's the world around you, it's people that work in the bank. What are you doing with your life? Friends of your parents, it's all around you. You are the black sheep And it takes courage. I pride myself with that courage. And it's what makes me want to wake up in the morning and do something. Otherwise, I'd be bored to death because I get bored very easy.
Yeah. Have you, here's a story for me. I've been fired once before. I got fired from an ice cream place, a yogurt place for not, I got fired for filling the ice cream cones too full. They wanted me to weigh the ice cream and like cheat the kids out of their ice cream, like fill them hollow. I'm like, I will not do that. That's funny.
Well, that's not a tragedy. I mean, I'd say,
my funny story for you.
You're lucky you were not arrested.
You have been arrested for filling ice cream cones too full. I should change my story.
Yeah, you can't ever do that.
Don't ever do that, people listening.
Obscene.
Do not fill the ice cream too full. Yeah, oh, gosh. Anyway. Well, what a joy talking with you. I just so appreciate the time getting to know you better.
Wait, you forgot the second question.
Oh, yeah. I can't even remember what it was. We got all sidetracked.
I can't either. So never mind, I guess.
We're going to have to listen. I'm getting old. We're going to have to listen back. Somebody right now call in and tell us what the second question was.
It's all good.
Whatever. Yeah, it's all good. But
yeah,
anyway, thank you. We can end on a giggle. And put on underwear, please. No, I'm just kidding.
sorry for the visual.
No, it's all good. Anyway, all right. Well, lots of love to you and autographband.com. Go there. And you guys are actually you on Twitter. You're accessible. You're there. It's so cool. So I wish you all the best. I hope you come to Maine. That'd be so much fun.
Absolutely.
That'd be so fun.
Are you going to come see us?
Yeah. Heck yeah. I'm bringing lots of people. Yeah. Or Boston or something. Something. I don't know. If I'll see where you guys are. It'd be so much fun. So.
Awesome.
Anyway,
thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Oh,
thank
gosh.
You very
what
much.
What a true joy. And best of luck to you and everything that you're doing. And keep us posted if you guys want to come back on the show and give us an update. I'd love that.
Anytime. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, sweetie.
All right. Take care. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye. Sure. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Best Ever You Network. For more information, just visit us at besteveryou.com.